Today's daf is Megillah daf Yud Ches. We are holding on daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are in the fourth very wide line on daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. We're at the word Gufa. The Gemara's first, we're in the middle of a discussion about writing a Megillah, how you have to write Minaksav. You have to be copying from another Megillah when writing the Megillah. So we're going to finish up that discussion, and we're going to talk about whether Megillah requires Sirtut, and whether Tefillin and Mezuzos require Sirtut when writing the Megillah, and some other halachic requirements of writing the Megillah. Then the Mishnah on Yud Tesomid Aleph is going to have two topics. Topic number one is, what if you have a Ben Ear that goes to a Krach, or a Ben Krach that goes to an Ear that's visiting a different location, that reads a Megillah on a different day? Does he read the Megillah like the place that he comes from? Does he read the Megillah like the place where he's visiting? And then the second halacha the Mishnah is going to discuss is where you have to start the Megillah from in order to be Yotzei. Do you have to start at the very beginning, or is there perhaps some other spot to start from? The Mishnah is going to have three opinions. The Gemara is going to add a fourth opinion, and the Gemara is going to explain what the basis of each of the four opinions really is. And then at the end of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, we're going to have a few other dinim of Ksivas HaMegillah and Tfiras HaMegillah, about the sewing together of the parchments of the Megillah. The top of Amud Beis is going to have four straight statements of Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, relating to Mikra Megillah, some not, some just because they were authored by the same person, Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about a Cheir Shota V'Katan, V'Kriyas HaMegillah, and a very important Tosus we're going to have on Amud Beis about a Katan reading the Megillah, who can be Motzi who in Mikra Megillah and in other mitzvahs. So let us begin. We are in the fourth wide line again on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are at the word Gufa. Gufa, Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asur Lichtov Osach HaShlom HaNaksav. A person who is writing the Megillah cannot write even a single letter unless he's copying it from an existing Ksav of Megillah. So it says, Meisvei Amar Rav Shimon Elazar, Meisvei Rav Meir Shalach La'Aber Shana Ba'Asya V'lo Hayesha Megillah V'Kasvami Libo V'Kara. One time Rav Meir was traveling and he was in a place where he didn't have a Megillah, so he quickly wrote a Megillah from memory, and then he used that Megillah for the mitzvah. He wasn't copying from another Megillah, he didn't have one, he wrote purely from memory. That Rav Meir is different, because we could say about Rav Meir that he looks, that your pupils look straight ahead, his eyes look straight ahead, meaning he had very clear vision of what it said in the Megillah. He knew it very well, and therefore he was able to write it. Shalom and Aksav. Amr Lei Rami Bar Chama Rabbi Yirmi Midifti Ma'avav Pecha Yeshiru Negdecha. What is the pasuk talking about? Amr Lo Elu Divrei Torah Dichsivbu Hitaveinecha Bavainenu. That it's a reference to Divrei Torah, where you blink your eyes and it's gone. Meaning Divrei Torah, very often, if a person doesn't review enough, you're going to learn it very quickly and you'll feel like you understand it. You feel like, oh, this is so geschmack, I'm never going to forget this. And then 5 minutes later, you forgot it. That it's something that feels like you're not going to forget it, but you blink and it's gone. Va'afilu achim yusharin hein etzel Rav Meir. And still, even though that's the nature of Divrei Torah, still, Rav Meir knew them very well. Rav Meir was very fluent in Divrei Torah, and that's why he was able to write the Megillah from memory. Rav Chista Ashkel Rav Chananel Davakas of Sfarim Shlom and Ksav. Rav Chista saw that Rav Chananel was writing Sfarim, also not copying from a Ksav. So Amalei Ruuya Kolatori Likasiv Al Picha Elakachom Rechacham Asu Lichtav Osach Shlom and Ksav. So he said to him, I trust that you know it. I trust that the whole entire Torah could be written Al Picha, that you know it that well that you wouldn't make a single mistake. But what are you going to do? The Chacham said that you're not allowed to write Shalom and Aksav. You can't be writing it by heart. So the fact that he made that first comment, that the entire Torah could be theoretically be written by you, meaning you're so fluent, it sounds like it was Miusharnein Etzlo, that it's something he was very fluent in, and that we trusted he wasn't going to make any mistakes. But for Rabbi Meir Kasav, Rabbi Meir was, we said, that was Rabbi Meir's excuse. We said Rabbi Meir wrote Shalom and Aksav, and the reason he was allowed to was that he was very fluent. So why, what works for Rabbi Meir, why does it not work for Rav Chananel? Rav Chananel was apparently also very fluent, but still he was told, the Chacham said that you have to only write Min Aksav. And Sugmar Shasat Chak Shaini. The reason Rav Meir was able to write Shalom and Aksav was because of the combination of both things. That it was, he was very fluent in it, he knew it very well, and therefore wasn't going to make a mistake. And it was a Shasat Chak, meaning had it not been for a Shasat Chak, even someone like Rav Chananel, someone like Rabbi Meir, would be careful to only write Min Aksav. It's just Rav Meir was traveling and he didn't have a Aksav to write from. Abaye Shara L'Dbei Bar Chavo L'Michtav Tefillin U'Mezuzah Shalom and Aksav. Abaye permitted certain sofrim to write tefillin and mezuzos without copying from an existing text. Kiman ki aitana, and he was following the following tana. Ditanya Rabbi Yirmiyahu Omer Mishum Rabbeinu tefillin and mezuzos nichtavo shalom and aksav vein shricha sirtut. That tefillin and mezuzos can be written shalom and aksav. You don't need to copy from an existing text for tefillin and mezuzos because it's something that's very fluent. Everyone knows those parshios by heart. And ein shrichan sirta, the mitzvahs of tefillin and mezuzah, you don't need to mark off the lines on the klaf before you write the parshios out. V'hilchsa tefillin ein shrichan sirtut, mezuzos shrichan sirtut. And we paskin that tefillin do not require sirtut, but mezuzos do require sirtut. And idi v'idi nechtava shalom and aksav. And both of them could be written, shalom and aksav can be written without copying an existing text. My time, migras grisin, and the reason they can be written shalom and aksav is because everybody is fluent in them. Everybody knows these parshios very well, so we're not concerned that anybody's going to make a mistake. So we paskin la halacha apparently about sirtut that tefillin that does not require sirtut, mezuzah does require sirtut. There is a machlokas though what we mean when we say tefillin does not require sirtut. Tosos Maseches Gittin Davavam Beis called Shitas Rabbeinu Tam that when we say that it doesn't require sirtut, it means that you don't need to mark off each line of the tefillin before writing out the parshios of the tefillin. You have to mark off each line on the klaf. But what you certainly need to do is the shura ha'elyona. The top line does require sirta to make sure that you're writing the top line straight, and then we assume the rest of the lines are going to follow in order. They're going to line up directly underneath that, and it's still going to be straight. And as opposed to mezuzah, where we say it's shricha sirta, it means that it requires sirta on each and every line. Rabbeinu Tam is Raya is a Gemara in Maseches Gittin Davavim Beis, where the Gemara says that anyone who writes a pasuk from Kisvei HaKodesh, even if you're just writing it L'shemi Geres, you're just writing a letter to somebody else and you happen to quote a pasuk, it still requires sirtut. That whenever you're writing any pasukim, it requires sirtut. So Rabbeinu Tam says, if any letter that's not even L'shem Mitzvah, it's not anything, requires sirtut, how could it be that tefillin doesn't require sirtut at all? No, it must be that it requires sirtut, it's just a lower level sirtut than what's required for mezuzos. The Ran, however, disagrees. The Ran says, no, tefillin do not require sirtut at all. What about the Gemara that even an Igeres requires sirtut? Says the Ran, that's not a Raya. The reason an Igeres requires sirtut is because somebody's going to read it, and we want it to be read easily and to be read properly, that if a pasuk is going to be read, we want it to be read in a clear manner. So you have to do sirtut to make sure that it's written straight. But who's ever going to read your tefillin? You close it up, and as long as it was kosher once, you close it up, and that's it. You don't have to, no one ever reads the tefillin. So since it's not there to be read, it's not going to require sirtut. That is the shita of the Ran. Ha'isak suva b'sam, the Mishnah had said that if the Megillah was written with anything other than dio, the black ink, and on klaf, it is going to be pasul. If it was written b'sam, b'sikra, all these different types of inks. So the Gemara identifies what these inks are. Sam is summa. It's an ink that they knew of as summa. Sikra, what's sikra? Amar Rabbi Rechana, sakarta shema. It's what they used to call sakarta. Kumus is kuma, it's a tree sap, it's an ink that would come from the sap of a tree. Kankantum, charsa du'ushkafi, is a shoemaker's, the black of a shoemaker that they would blacken the shoes with. Diftera, dimaliach v'kamiach v'lo afitz. Now diftera is a type of parchment that we said is not kosher. What is the nature of this parchment? Parchment is treated with salt, it's treated with flour, but it was never treated with gallnut juice. Parchment has to go through certain treatments before it's considered to be a kosher klaf, so it's only a kosher klaf if it was treated with gallnut juice as well. So Tosfos asks the question, when was the last time we ever treated a klaf with gallnut juice? And we use klafim all the time for all sorts of mitzvahs. Kashim, kein hech kosvin al klafim shalanu, delo afitzi, sefer Torah, tefillin, megillah. We write sefer Torah, tefillin, megillah, all on klafim that were never treated with gallnut juice. So says Tosfos, I don't know what it looks like. V'tirutz Rabbeinu Tam, I don't think you can find it in the supermarket, gallnut juice. V'tirutz Rabbeinu Tam, sha'asid sha'anu nosim beklafim shalanu, mahani ka'afatzin, that whatever we do treat it with mimics the effects of gallnut juice, meaning there's no din that it has to be treated with gallnut juice. The din is that it has to be a kind of klaf that cannot be erased, that you can't change things around, you can't scratch off the ink easily, that the ink is going to stick to. So how do you get such a klaf? So they used to use gallnut juice. Now we have other chemicals that we use to make it happen. So it's not about it being gallnut juice. That's not the requirement. The requirement is just that it be a proper klaf. klaf, and we have proper klaf. Niyar machka. What's niyar? It's machka. Rashi says it's a type of a weed or a grass that's made by sticking it together. Atshetek suva shuris and the Megillah, in order for it to be kosher, has to be written in Hebrew font. Dichsiv kiksavam ukizmanam ala sefer b'diyoin. It has to be written on a parchment with black ink. Minalan. How do we know that to be the case? Asya ksiva ksiva, because we have a gzereshava ksiva ksiva. Ksiv hacha vatikasev esra malka uksiv hasa mayomelam baruch mipiv yikra elayas kol advar meila vanikosev ala sefer b'diyo. That it says vatikasev esra malka, and then when in another pasuk where it says also about ksiva kosev, it says ala sefer b'diyo. That's the pasuk in Yirmiyo. So we see that anytime it says ksiva, it has to be ala sefer and b'diyo. It has to be on a parchment with black ink. So the Rishonim are all bothered over here. Why do I need a gezer shava to teach this halacha? They have to write al sefer b'diyo. Megillah is called a sefer. The Gemara is going to say later on, Megillah is called a sefer. So if it's called a sefer, it would have all the requirements of sefer. You shouldn't need a pasuk of ksiva, that specifically because it says ksiva, that's how we know. It's called a sefer, that should be enough. So this is a fascinating briska rav. The briska rav in Hilchas Megillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes, and the comments on the Rambam, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes, asks on our Gemara one more question. Why does Gemara need a specific lima that Megillah needs to be written with Sefer B'diyo? We should say Megillah is one of the Chavtal Sifrei Tanakh. So if it's one of the Chavtal Sifrei Tanakh, of course it has to be written al Sefer B'diyo. You shouldn't need a limud from the Lashon of Ksiva. So the Briskov is Mechadesh that Megillah's Esther has two dine Ksiva. There are Tzvei dinim in Megillah's Esther. Classic Briskov. He says there's a din of Ksiva, like all other Ksuvim, that Megillah's Esther is part of Kisvei HaKodesh. It's one of the Chavtal Sifrei Tanakh. That's what the Gemara Baba Basra identifies it as. And that's what the Gemara said previously on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, that Megillah's Esther is Metamei Yaseyadayim. Metamei Yaseyadayim means it's one of the Kisvei HaKodesh, it's one of the Chavtal Sifrei Tanakh. That's one din in Ksivas Megillah's Esther. But then there's another din in Megillah that in order to read it from it, in order to be Yotzei, the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, you have to write it down first. And there are certain dinim that relate specifically to that second din of Ksiva, to the Ksiva for the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. And these two dinim can exist without the other. You could have each of these dinim exist without the other. Meaning you could have a Megillah that's kosher for Kriyas Megillah, that you can be Yotzei Yechiyuv, but it's not going to have the Kedusha of Kisvei HaKodesh, it's not going to be Metame Yadayim. Because the din of Ksivas Megillah is a totally independent din from the din of Megillah being one of the Kisvei HaKodesh, and therefore being Metame Yadayim. So therefore, says the Brisker Rav, that's why we need a Gezer Shav over here from the Pasuk in Yirmiyo to tell me to write it out of Sefer B'diyo, and we can't learn Sefer B'diyo from the fact that it's Kisvei HaKodesh. Because had it not been for the Gezer Shav, we would say, yeah, if you don't write it out of Sefer B'diyo, it doesn't have a din of Kedushas Kisvei HaKodesh, it's not going to be Metame Yadayim. But what does it have to do with the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah? I would have thought that you could still be Yotzei the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. Comes along the Gzer Shava and tells us, no, Megillah's Esther B'Torah's Kriyas HaMegillah also has to be Ala Sefer B'Diyo. And that's why we need a separate drasha, a separate limud, because there are Tzvei Dinim in Kriyas HaMegillah, so you need a limud for each din. Says the Mishnah now, Ben Ir Shalach L'Krach, if a person who lives in a city goes to visit a person lives in a small city, goes to visit a large city surrounded by walls from Dezi Yeshua ben Nun, ben Krach Shalach Liir, or vice versa. Im Asa Lachzul Makomo, Karek Makomo. If he's going to go back home, then he reads like his hometown. He doesn't read like the place that he's visiting. Vim Lav Karek Imahen. But if he's not going to be going back home, then he reads like the place that he's visiting. There's a question that Turi Evan raises the question: why isn't this a violation of Los? Code to do. We say if he's going to go back home, so he reads like his hometown, not like the place that he's visiting. Well, how could he be doing something different than everybody else is doing in the place where he is right now? Shouldn't that be a violation of Losis Code to do? So the Tori Evan suggests that whenever the multiple practices do not result from a machlokas, everyone agrees what the halacha is, and the halacha just happens to be different for different people, that's not called Losis Code to do. Losis Code to do is becoming agudos agudos, where everyone has their own practice. practices, that's where everyone has their own practices because they believe something different la halacha, because they each dispute what's the proper nusach of tefillah, what's the proper way to do certain mitzvahs. So that would be a violation of lo sisko to do. That's how the Torah Evan says. Chassam Sofer says that in a chinami it would be lo sisko to do, and when he reads, he'd have to read chutz le'ir, he'd have to leave the city. Rabbeinu Yonason says that anything that's bedarach hakrai is not going to be near a kabeis Torah. So anything that's only every once in a while, it's not something that's a common thing, is not going to look like beis Torah. The bigger question over here is, the broader question, I should say, is what is this Mishnah doing here? Meaning about a ben ir shalach l'krach, that is very clearly, decidedly a first perek type of Mishnah. That halacha, that's what the Masechta started with. The Masechta started with what day of the month everybody reads, and the ben kfar, the ben krach, the ben ir. So why is this Mishnah over here at all? So there's some of the achronim, the Sefer Nefesh Chaya says, he explains very interesting. He says that if a person hears that they're reading the Megillah from, he raised another question, but by way of answering this question, what is the first halacha in the Mishnah have anything to do with the second halacha in the Mishnah? The second halacha in the Mishnah we haven't read yet, we're about to read, is where you can start the Megillah from. Do you need to start from the beginning of the Megillah, or can you start a little bit later on in the Megillah? Now that's very much a second parak type of discussion. That's about the actual reading of the Megillah, not about the timing of the reading of the Megillah. So he suggests that maybe the connection is that if a person hears that they're reading the Megillah from the beginning, and that someone else reads from Ish Yehudi, one might have thought that the place where that you have to read the Megillah from, it depends on where you are, it depends on who you are, because it was only the Jews in Shushan that were Nena from Sudas Achashverosh. So therefore I would have thought that only they need to start reading the Megillah from the beginning, where it starts talking about the Su'uda, because that's where it tells about the Su'uda, so they have to read that. Whereas if you're not from Walled City, I would think you don't have to start reading about the Su'uda, because the Su'uda is not nogea to you at all. It wasn't something that the people outside of Shushan did. So that's why Rabbeinu HaKodesh put this din over here, about Ben Ir Shalach L'Krach, that he's Korei Imahen, that we don't say, he doesn't say Eino Korei Kimakomo, or Korei Ka'oso Makom. So he says Korei Imahen, to teach us that he's Korei their Kriya Mamish, meaning that he does the Kriya exactly the way they do the Kriya, that it doesn't depend on who you are, where you're from, whether your ancestors participated, the people of your makom participated. The coming machlokas we're about to have, and that's why he juxtaposes the two machlokasim, because the coming machlokas we're about to have has nothing to do with where you're from. It's just a general machlokas about how much of the Megillah that you have to read. So let's see that machlokas. What is the minimum amount that a person has to read from the Megillah in order to be yotzei yischiyuv? Three opinions in the Mishnah. Rameir Omer Kula. Rameir says the minimum amount is the entire Megillah. You have to read the whole thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Me'ish Yehudi. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you could start with the words Ish Yehudi. Rabbi Yossi Omer Me'achar Dvar Me'ili. You could start with Achar Dvar Me'ili. Amar Rava Lo Shan Mal Shas Halachsa B'Leli Yudalid. That the first halach in the Mishnah, where we said that you read these Kore Kimakomo, that a Ben Ir Shalach L'Krach or vice versa is Kore Kimakomo, that's only if he's going to return back to his home on the night of Purim. Avalena Salachsa B'Leli Arba Asar Kore Imahen. But if he's not going to go back home on the night of Purim, then he says that he reads the Megillah the same night as everybody else in the town that he's visiting. Amar Rav Amina Aminala, how do I know that's the case? Tichziv, Alkena Yehudim HaPrazim HaYoshim Ba'arei HaPrazos. Talks about the Yehudim HaPrazim that dwell in Arei HaPrazos. So Michti, Ksiv HaYehudim HaPrazim. It already calls them Yehudim HaPrazim. Laman L'Michti HaYoshim Ba'arei HaPrazos. Why then does it have to repeat itself and say that they are dwellers of Prazos? HaKamash B'lan, Deparos Ben Yomo, Nikra Paros. It's teaching us that even if you're only visiting for a day, you're called a Paros. Ashkan Paros, Mukaf Minalan. So great, that tells us about people who live in cities. What about people who live in the cities that are surrounded by walls? How do I know that even if they're just there for a day, that they're called residents of the city? Svaruhu, Mi Deparos Ben Yomo, Kari Paros, Mukaf Ben Yomo, Kari Mukaf. Well, that's just logical, that if a Paros Ben Yomo is called a Paros, then a Mukaf Ben Yomo is called a Mukaf as well. Va'amar Rava also commented, Ben Kfar Shahalach Li'ir, Ben Kach Kari Imahen. That if you're a villager who is Makdim Liyom HaKnisa, and you go visit a city that reads on Purim, that reads on the normal day, and you're Dalid, so then no matter what, whether you're going back home, you're not going back home, you read with them. If you happen to be in the city on your Dalid, you're Korei Imah, and you read together with the people of the city. My time, why would that be the case? Haike b'nei Ya'ir b'ay l'mikri, v'rabbanu d'akilu ala kfarim, k'dei shispugu mayim mazal achayim shabakrachin. It's different than someone reads on the 14th visiting a town that reads on the 15th or vice versa. In those cases, there were two separate takanos of Kriyas HaMegillah for the 14th and the 15th. So we say, okay, if you're going back home, so just wait till you get back home and you'll read on your day. But a ben kfar doesn't really have a different day. He's matim l'yom haknisa as a special takanat rabbanon in order to enable him to provide mayim u'mazon for the people of the city. But his day is really Purim. His day is really Yodalid. And therefore, if he happens to be in a city on Yodalid, he certainly should read on Yodalid. That is his day. Hani Mili, when do we say that we make a takana that he could read earlier? Ki yisei b'duch day. That's when he's on his home turf. Aval ki yisei b'ir, k'b'neir b'ay l'mikri. But if he's visiting a city, then he certainly should read like the people in the city. Now, Tosus points out over here, quotes from Rashi. Rashi points out that when we say that Benkach u'Benkach, he reads like the people of the city, what's the Chiddush he reads like the people of the city? It's his last possible day to lay in the Megillah. Meaning, if he hasn't read the Megillah yet, so of course he's going to lay in like the people in the city. He's normally Maktim Liyam HaKnisa. Now he's in the city, then they're reading on Purim itself. Of course he has to read on Yadalit. So Rashi and Tosus both point out, no, we're talking about a person who already read on the Yom HaKnisa. He's a Ben Kfar, and he read on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and now he went to a city. And we're saying he has to read again. He has to read the Megillah a second time. That's what Rashi says. So Tosfos writes that Pirush Rashi, after Shakar Kvar Liyam HaKnisa, V'kasha Lama Yachsav Yikra Shnei Pamim. Why does he have to read twice? So Tosfos says, I'll tell you why. The Shapi Pirush Rashi, the Kivan Shaya Be'ir B'Layla, Nasik B'nei Ya'ir, V'alf B'Shas Lachsar B'Lel Yadalin, V'alf B'Shakar B'Yom HaKnisa, Dada Amrin, Kvar Makdim Liyam HaKnisa, K'dei Sh'espiku Mayim Mazan Lachem Shabakrachim, U'Ptur Mimagila, Hainu Dafka K'she'inim Shoim Sham B'Lel Yadalin. When do we say they read earlier? That's only if they're not going to be in a city on the night of the 14th. El B'Yom Yadalin B'Yom Sham, they're only going to show up to the city during the daytime. But when they're there on the night of the 14th, then certainly they have a din of a ben ear, and they have to read on your dalit. Back in the Gemara, Esri Abaye ben Krach shalach liir. Ben kach ben kach kori kimakomo, that it says a ben krach that goes to a city, either way he has to read like his town. Ben krach sal kadaitach, really a ben krach, as we're talking about, didn't we say a ben krach, it really depends on whether he plans on going home that night or not? Now I love ben kfar, no, it's obviously telling us about a ben kfar, it's a typo in the brisa. It should say that a ben kfar that goes to a city always is kore Kimakomo. He reads like his hometown, not like the city he's visiting. It's a kashan Rava. Rava said that he reads like the Bnei Ir. So the Gemara answers, Valav Terutzi Mitzrasta. How can you ask a kasha from a brisa that you just changed a word in the brisa because it was inaccurate? So if that word was inaccurate, the whole thing could be inaccurate. Tani, Kore Imahen. The part that it says that he's Kore like the people of his town, maybe that part was inaccurate and it should say Kore Imahen, that he reads like the town that he's visiting, like the city that he's visiting. Mehechon Kore Adam. So we have three opinions in the Mishnah. At what point one needs to begin Kriyas HaMegillah, meaning how much of the Megillah one has to read in order to be yotzei the mitzvah. So Tani, Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer, mi b'layla hu. Rav Shimon ben Yochai has a fourth opinion that from b'layla hu. In the Sefer Shoshanim Ladavi, he says, how could it be that Rebbe doesn't quote the sheet of Rav Shimon ben Yochai in the Mishnah? This is not a small Tana. This is not some obscure Tana. How does Rebbe miss the sheet of Rav Shimon ben Yochai? So in the Nusach of the Tosefta that we have, it doesn't say Rav Shimon ben Yochai. It says Rav Shimon ben Eliezer, which was who lived at the very end of the days of Rabbi, and therefore wouldn't be a kasha why Rabbi doesn't mention in the Mishnah. And the Sifsei Chami says no, because Balaila Hu is way after the beginning of the Megillah, so Rabbi didn't want to bring a shita that's mima'it the chiyuv of Kriyas HaMegillah to such an extent, so he only quoted the three shitos that are at least close to the beginning of the Megillah. But Pashtus is that Rabbi Shimon Elazar is the girsa, and that's why Rabbi didn't have it. So that's the fourth opinion. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mekulin Mekreach HaDarshu. They're all dashing, all four opinions in the same pasuk to arrive at their opinions. Vatikasiv Esra Malka Mordechai Yehudi Es Kol Tokef. That Esther and Mordechai wrote the Kol Tokef, the full Tokef of the Geras Purim. So what does that mean? Mandam Rakula, the one that says you have to read the whole thing is Tokfa Shel Achashverosh. It means the full strength of Achashverosh, that you start reading from the glory of Achashverosh. Umandam Yish Yehudi Tokfa Shel Mordechai. The one that says Yish Yehudi holds that you have to start with the Tokef of Mordechai. Umandam Machar Dvar Me'ela Tokfa Shel Haman. That's where Haman comes into the picture. Umandam Belaila Hu Tokfel Shal Neis. That's where the Neis starts coming together. Belayla Hu, where the king says, take out the Sefer Zichronos. So Rav Huna Amar Mehacha, Rav Huna says, no, it's from the following pasuk. Umaro al kacho mahigia alehem. That the story is told of what motivated them and what their end was, what happened to them. So what does that mean? Mandi Amar Kula, the one that says you have to read the whole thing means that what does it mean? What motivated who? What motivated them? Who are we talking about? It means Mara Achashverosh and Hashemish Bekelim Shul Beis Hamikdash. What motivated Achashverosh to use the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash? It's Al Kacha. The answer is Mishum Dachashiv Shiv Mshinin Velo Ifruk. He counted his 70 years of Golus Bavel and he saw that the Jews weren't redeemed yet. Umahi Gialem, and what was his end? What resulted from it? The Katal Vashti. He ended up killing his own wife. Umandir Mish Yehudi, the one that says we read from Mish Yehudi, Ma Ra'a, what motivated him means what motivated Mordechai de Ikni Bahaman. What motivated Mordechai to taunt Haman? It was Al Kacha, the Shavi Nafshi Avodah Zarah. It was because Haman made himself into an Avodah Zarah, so Mordechai refused to bow to Haman, refused to bow to an Avodah Zarah. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlokas where you're allowed to be Mishtachve to a Sar that carries a Tselem on him. So Chumash Deshem brings a riot that it's Asr from here, that's what Ma Ra'a, what made Mordechai refuse to bow to Haman? It's Al Kacha. It's because Haman made himself an Avodah Zarah. Umayi Gialeim, Disrachish Nisa. And what was the result? The great Nes of Purim. Umandia Me'achar Dvar Me'ila. And the one that says it's Me'achar Dvar Me'ila, Mara, whose motivation are we questioning? Mara Haman Shiniskani Bekol Yehudim. What caused Haman to be so jealous and hateful of the Yehudim, of the Jewish people? Al Kacha. The answer is it's Al Kacha. Mishum de Mordechai lo yichra ve lo yishtachave. It's because Mordechai refused to bow. Umay Gialeim, and what was the result? The Talos of Hezbanav, Ale'etz, Haman and his sons were all hanged. Umandiyar mi Belailahu, Ma Ra'a Chashverosh, Lavia Sefer HaZichronos. The one that says we suffer from Belailahu, the Ma Ra'a is what motivated Achashverosh to bring the Sefer HaZichronos. It's Al Kacha, like we learned earlier, Dizimante Esther Lahaman Ba'adei, that Esther invited Haman to the party with him, so Achashverosh thinking maybe there's some plot against him, maybe no one's telling him about it, and that's why he needed the Sefer HaZichronos taken out. Umay Gialeim, and the result was the Nes of Purim. Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rav Chama, Bar Gurya, Amar Rav. Halacha Kedivreya Omer Kula. The halacha is that we're supposed to read the entire Megillah. So whose shita is that? That is the sheet of Rabbi Meir that says we're supposed to read Kula. So that's a little bit strange. The Achronim wondered. Generally speaking, you have machlok from Meir Rabbi Yehuda, halach Rabbi Yehuda. You have machlok from Meir Rabbi Yossi, halach Rabbi Yossi. And what do we have over here? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi. And we follow the opinion of Rabbi Meir. That's against all the rules. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, you go with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, you go with Rabbi Yossi. So the Yerushalmi says that it was Nagu Krameir, that they were Makabel, the Chum, to follow the sheet of Rameir, but in Achinami Miklalei Apsak, if you were just using the Klalei Apsak, we never would have paskined like Rameir. The Manas Halevi suggests that we're not really paskined like Rameir, it's that they're all MS, that all of the opinions are true, and therefore the only way to cover all of the opinions is by reading from the beginning, meaning that the Tokfo Shal Mordechai is important, the Tokfo Shal Haman, the Tokfo Shal Achashverosh, that all of them are good, but we try to satisfy all of them. I'm not sure what that means. But even if you're old, you can start from Ish Yehudi. The whole Megillah has to be written. It's just that you get to start a little bit late, but everything has to be written. Megillah is called a Sefer. It's also called a Nigeres. Nikrei Sefer Shem Tafra B'chute Pishtam Psula. It's called a Sefer in the sense that if you were to use synthetic cloth, it would be possible. If you were to use flax thread to tie it together, to hold it together, to stitch it together, it's going to be puzzle. You need to use gidim like you use by a Sefer Torah. V'nikreis igeres shem hitel b'shol shechute gidim k'sheira. But it's called an igeres because you only need three stitches in order to hold it together. Amar Rav Nachman v'vashu mishuloshin, but three stitches need to be mishuloshin. So Tosos and Rashi both say mishuloshin means that the distance between the top of the cloth and the first stitch has to be the same distance as from the first stitch to the next stitch, and etc. The spacing has to be exactly exactly even. It does not mean, says Tosos, that you have one stitch at the very top of the cloth, one stitch at the very bottom, one stitch in the middle. I mean, it should be off of the top a little bit, and the distance that it's off from the top is the same distance between that and the next stitch. He says, just like what the Gemara says in Makos, that the Arei Miklat are also Mishulashin, Midarum Lechevron, Mechevron Leshchem, Mishchem Lekadish, Mekadish Letzafon. So you see also that it doesn't mean one at each extreme and one in the middle. It means that from the border to the first one is the same distance as from the first one to the second one. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, HaKorei B'Megillah K'suv B'en K'suvim Lo Yatza. If a person takes out a big scroll of K'suvim and reads the Megillah from his big scroll of K'suvim, he's not Yotzei the Mitzvah. Amar Rav Lo Amar El Delo Mechasru Miyasra Porta. That's only if there's nothing that makes the Megillah stand out. But if the part that has the Megillah is larger or smaller or something, just looks different than the rest, so it's clear that you're reading a Megillah, then it's okay. Av Mechasru Miyasra Porta Lassama, then it wouldn't be a problem. Levi Bar Shmuel have a Kokari Kamed Rav Yehuda B'Megillah K'suva Ben Aksuvim. Levi Bar Shmuel was reading a Megillah K'suva Ben Aksuvim in front of Rabbi Yehuda. And Amar Lei, Rav Yehuda said to him, Hari Amar, HaKorei B'Megillah K'suva Ben Aksuvim Lo Yatza. How could you do that? Don't you know that you're not Yotze if you read a Megillah K'suva Ben Aksuvim? So Amar B'Chia Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, HaKorei B'Megillah K'suva Ben Aksuvim Lo Yatza, Umach La'amucha B'tzibur Shanu. That even though originally he said that, yeah, you're not allowed to read a Megillah K'suva Ben Aksuvim, he backtracked a little bit and said, nah, that din is only if you're reading a Petzibur. Because the whole point, when you're reading a Petzibur, there has to be a significant element of Persume Nisa. And if you're reading from something that looks like you could have been reading any of the books, you just happened to open up to the Megillah, then it takes away from the Persume Nisa. But when you don't have Persume Nisa anyway, because you're reading a Piyachidus, so then you could read from a Megillah Aksuva, Bein Aksuvim. Once we mentioned that statement of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara quotes three more statements of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan. V'amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan, Shir Atfar Halach L'Moshe Misinai, Umach L'Amach L'Amar L'Kadei Shalo Yikara, that when you sew the parchments of a Sefer Torah together, to attach them together, the fact that you leave a little bit of the stitching on the top and on the bottom is Halach L'Moshe Misinai. And then he backtracked a little bit, he said, no, it's just to be smart, to make sure that the Torah doesn't rip, that if it's ever pulled taut, if it's attached too tightly together, so then it's going to rip more easily, it's going to tear apart more easily. You want to have a little bit of give in the way that you sew the cloth from the Sefer Torah together. So clearly it's a Takanas Chachamim, it's not Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So he didn't backtrack on the Halacha, but he said the Halacha is not as strong a Halacha as we thought it was. It's not Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it's Din D'Rabbanan. V'am Rav Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, a third statement of Rav Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Il Moli Nishtayir B'Ma'ara Shalmad B'Moshe V'Elyo, K'melo Nekav Machat Tzedakis, Lo Yichol Namim Mnei Ora. If there was even a crack, the size of a pin, in the cave that Moshe and Elio stood when they encountered the Shechina, no one would be able to withstand the great light that emanates from that cave. Shenemer ki lo yirani adam v'chai. No one could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and survive. V'am Rav Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Fourth statement of Rabbi Rabba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, "My duchsiv aleim kikol dvar ma'ashe dibra Hashem imachem bahar melamit shareiwa kadosh baruch lemoshe diktukei torah v'diktukei sofrim u'masha sofrim asidun lechadesh." That Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the details of the Torah and the details that sofrim and that would come up with and everything that sofrim are going to be mechadesh. U'may nihu, and what is that referring to? Mikra Megillah. That Kadosh Baruch Hu already taught Moshe Rabbeinu about Mikra Megillah, meaning even dinim d'rabbanan that did not yet exist, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu about. The discussion in the Rishonim and the Achronim, why is it that it's specifically Mikra Megillah? Why is that Divrei Sofrim? There are lots of Dinim D'Rabbanan. Some of them say it's not Dafka Mikra Megillah. We're learning Maseches Megillah. So we identify Mikra Megillah as the Din D'Rabbanan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos writes, based on the Gemara we had earlier, that Arba'im Ushmonu Neviim V'Sheva Neviyo Samdulam L'Yisrael Lo Pichsuv Lo Asiro Mashkasu B'Torah, that none of them added to anything that it says in the Torah except for Mikra Megillah. So you see that all the Takanos and the Gezeros are not considered a Hosafa to Divrei Torah. They're just a Geder, a Siag, to protect the Divrei Torah. The only thing that's a real Hosafa is Mikra Megillah. So that's why Mikra Megillah has to be identified as that which was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, new Mishnah. Hakol Kasher and Likros is a Megillah. Anybody can read the Megillah. Chutz Mecheres Shota V'Katan. Except for a Cheres Shota V'Katan, you're not allowed to read the Megillah. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir V'Katan. Rabbi Yehuda says that a Katan may read the Megillah. Says Tosfos over here, Rabbi Yehuda is Machshir, allows a Katan. Tanakama says a Katan cannot read the Megillah. Tosfos says, what kind of Katan are you talking about? Mimanafshach. If he's a katan that's higiel lechinuch, well then why would if he's a katan that's lo higiel lechinuch, why would Rabbi Yehuda have a problem? Why would Rabbi Yehuda say it's kosher? If he's lo higiel lechinuch, he's not chayev at all. It can't be kosher to read the Megillah. That's clear. Anyone who's not mechuyev b'davar cannot be motzi other people in their chiyuv. And if he's higiel lechinuch, well then what's the Rabbanan's problem? Why can't he read the Megillah? Why did the Rabbanan have a problem with it? The halacha is that any time you are chayiv in something, you could be motzi others. So the katan is chayiv midrabanan, so let him be motzi. The other people are also chayiv in mikra Megillah midrabanan. So, meaning after all, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that a ben is mevarich la'aviv. When it comes to birchas hamazon, a child could be motzi his father in birchas hamazon, even though he's a katan, and he's only chayiv midrabanan, and the Gemara says, yeah, as long as the father's also only chayiv midrabanan. How do you have a father that's only chayiv midrabanan birchas hamazon? He doesn't need a kedei sviya. The father eats less than a kedei sviya. He eats a kezayis, a kebeitza. So the father's only chayiv in birchas hamazon midrabanan. The child can be motzi the father. A derabanan is able to be motzi a derabanan in any mitzvah. So why is it that the rabbanan of our mishnah say that a katan cannot be motzi others in mikra megillah? The katan is chayiv midrabanan. The adult that he's being motzi is only chayiv midrabanan because the whole mikra megillah is only drabanan. So let the child be motzi the adult. So Tosfos says he is sowed. V'yesh lomer in the middle of Tosfos to liyola mayri be katan shehigiel lechinuch. We are talking about a katan that's higiel lechinuch and is therefore chayiv midrabanan megillah. V'afilu hachi paslu rabbanan mishum de megillah leka chiyuva afilu begedolim ela midrabanan v'katan ein mechuyiv el midrabanan afilu b'shar mitzvos o begadol leka lechad rabbanan b'megillah shar b'shar mitzvos chayiv d'oraisa v'lo asi treid rabbanan umapik chad rabbanan. The Tosfos suggests that there is a difference between the level of chiyuv of a gadol in mikra megillah and a katan in mikra megillah. Why is a gadol's chiyuv of mikra megillah only a chiyuv d'rabbanan and not a chiyuv d'oraisa? Only for one reason. The whole mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is only a mitzvah, Derabanan. That's the only reason that a Gadol's Chiyuv is only on a Derabanan level. Why is a Katan's Chiyuv on a lower level? Why is a Katan's Chiyuv on a Derabanan level? For two reasons. Number one, because the mitzvah itself is Derabanan. And number two, because he's not a Gadol, so his general Chiyuv in mitzvahs on a whole is only a Chiyuv Derabanan. Someone who has two reasons why he's not Chayiv D'Oraisa, a trade Derabanan, cannot be Motzi someone who only has one reason why he's not Chayiv D'Oraisa. And therefore, the Katan is not able to be Motzi the Gadol. Aye, but the Gemara said in Birch Samazon, the child could be Motzi the father. He said, yeah, if the child ate a Kedei Sviya, if he ate enough, that had he been a gadol, he would have been chayiv d'oraisa. So the only reason he's chayiv d'rabanan is because he's a katan. And the father ate a kezayis. The father didn't eat a kedei sviya. The father ate less than a kedei sviya, so he's also chayiv d'rabanan. Then the child could be motzi the father. What if the child eats a kezayis and the father eats a kezayis? Says Tosfos Nechinami, then the child cannot be motzi the father if they both only ate a kezayis, because the child would vayter be a trei d'rabanan and the father would be a chad d'rabanan. So Tosfos says, and the only exception to this rule of trei d'rabanan and chad d'rabanan, someone who's less chayiv being motzi, someone who's more chayiv, is when it comes to blind people. Because the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef would be motzi other people in Haggadah on the night of the Seder. Aye, but if a blind person is pater from mitzvos, is pater from Haggadah, so and is only chayv midrabanan, how could he be motzi other people? It's a trade rabbanan being motzi a chad rabbanan. So Tos says suma adif mikatan. A blind person is different than a katan because a blind person was kvar nischayv midaraisa. He was already chayv in mitzvos on a daraisa level, whereas a katan was never chayv in mitzvos on a daraisa level. This opens up a whole sugya of the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch. Meaning Tosfos assumes that the only reason a katan cannot, Tosfos states and teaches that the only reason a katan cannot be motzi a gadol is because a trade rabbanan can't be motzi a chad rabbanan. That is not the opinion of all Rishonim. There is a Mishnah Maseches Yuma. The Mishnah tells us that tinokos ein ma'aninos on b'yom ha'kipurim ha'mechanchanos on l'sanos l'sha'os. That when you have children under bar mitzvah, they don't fast all Yom Kippur, but you teach them to fast a little bit of the day in order that they're regilin b'mitzvahs. So some of the Achronim suggest, why does the Dafka say that in Yom Kippur? Why not just say Ein Mananas HaKatanim by all fast days, but more Mechanich them to L'Sha'os? So he said, no, there is no din of Chinuch on other fast days, because other fast days are not daraisa, they're only drabanan. And the whole mitzvah of chinuch is only for mitzvahs daraisa. There's no mitzvah of chinuch for tishbav and the like, which are only midrabanan. So the rishonim in our sugya, some of the rishonim say, the ramami panu suggests that's exactly why in our sugya the katan cannot be motzi a gadol the mikra megillah. Why is that it cannot be motzi a gadol? Because mikra megillah is only drabanan, not because it's trei drabanan chad drabanan. Since Mikra Megillah is only Drabbanan, there's no mitzvah chinuch in Mikra Megillah. The Katan's not chayev at all in Mikra Megillah. So he's completely potter, and that's why he's not going to be able to be motzi a gadol, as opposed to the Gemara in Brachos about Birch Samazim. Birch Samazim is mitzvah daraisa, so there's a chayev of chinuch for the Katan in Birch Samazim. That's why he's able to be motzi the gadol. The context of the Ramami Panu was he was asked about a minhag that people had that they would make children fast on the other fast days, on the Drabbanan fast days. And the Shoal says, I don't get the reason for it. He says, I understand. Maybe Tishbav, you want to be machmir because it's chamer like Yom HaKippurim. Anyone who eats on Tishbav is ki'ilu he ate on Yom Kippur. But I don't get why they would have children fast the other fast days. And Ramami Panu says, I don't get why you would have them fast on Tishbav either. He says, I understand. Like the Mishabura Paskins, that the child shouldn't eat candy all day. He shouldn't have, be fressing all day. And just, it shouldn't be a party. But that a child should fast on Tishbav. Ramami Panu says, there's no chinuch in Drabanans. Tishbav is Drabanan. There's no mitzvah of chinuch. So it happens to be, even though there are achronim that say like this, Ramami Panu also, that there's no chinuch by Drabanans, it happens to be we don't pass in that way. We clearly pass in that there is chinuch by Drabanans. In Shulchan Aruch, we talk about chinuch in tefillah, and chinuch in brachos, and even chinuch in Tishbav, in the halachos of Tishbav. But when it comes to achila b'tishbav, it's important to point out, since it's in Yonah Diyoma, the Mishnah Brewer writes in some Tavkuf Nun that we are not chayiv to be mechanech even a 12-year-old, even in Tainus Sha'os on Tishbav, but they should only eat kidei kiyum aguf, lechem amayim, oshar meichel pashut, meaning they shouldn't have a steak dinner, they should have a tuna fish sandwich, have something very simple that they're going to eat on Tishbav. But there is no din of the various minhagim that people have of fasting three fasts before the bar mitzvah, this many fasts before the bar mitzvah. What it says in Shulchan Aruch is two Yom Kippurs before the bar mitzvah. It doesn't say anything about the other fast. The Yom Kippur is the only time that we prepare a child for actual fasting, if he's strong enough to handle two Yom Kippurs. So the Gemara says now, Man tana cheresh dievet nami lo. Who's the opinion of our mission that says that a cheresh is possible to read the Megillah, even b'dievet? Amr of Masna Rabbi Yossi. It must be the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Titnan, akari yashma v'lo shmila no yatza. Rabbi Yossi Amr, lo yatza. That if someone says Shema and doesn't hear the words, so he's yotze, but Rabbi Yossi says he's not yotze. So you see, the cheresh is b'dievet, even he's not even yotze b'dievet, according to Rabbi Yossi. Normally, Tosafot points out, normally cheresh means someone who's eino shamea ve'eino medaber, can neither hear nor speak. Obviously, that's not what we're talking about over here, because we're talking about someone reading the Megillah. So obviously, he can speak, he just can't hear. How do you know that our Mishnah was authored by Rabbi Yossi, and it's telling us that a cheresh is not even good b'dieved? Maybe our Mishnah that says that a cheresh is no good is the sheet of Rabbi Yuda, and it's just saying lechachila the cheresh is no good. So Gemara has three answers. Number one, lo sal kadai tani cheresh tumi d'shot of a katan. It associates cheresh with shotan katan. Shot of a katan d'yevet nami lo, av cheresh d'yevet nami lo. Well, shot of a katan, clearly even b'dieved it's no good, so cheresh also even b'dieved is no good. V'dilma hakadis av hakadis. So the Gemara says, nah, we're not going to accept that answer. Maybe shot of a katan enachinami is a din even b'dieved, but cheresh is only a din l'chadchila. That still doesn't prove that a cheresh is even a din b'dieved. Nah, maybe our mission is going like Rabbi Yehuda. And so the Gemara, midiktani seifa, second answer, midiktani seifa Rabbi Yehuda, machshir b'katan, mechal the ratio of Rabbi Yehudahi. The fact that the Sefer then introduces Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah and says, oh, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a katan is kasher, that implies that the first line in the Mishnah that said that chutz mi-cherishot of a katan was not authored by Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. A cherish, even b'dievet, is no good. It's not just a din l'chadchila, according to our Mishnah. The Bach takes out the next two lines. V'dilma kula Rabbi Yehuda, two lines later, V'dilma kula Rabbi Yehudahi utrei gavni katan katanila. No, maybe the whole Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah is talking about two different types of ketanim, and you just have to fill in a few lines in the Mishnah, and the way the Mishnah should be read as follows. V'chisuri mechzra v'hachi ketani. The Mishnah is missing a few lines. This is the way to read it. Hakol k'sherin likros ha'samegillah, chutz mi'cher shod v'katan. Everyone's kosher to read the Megillah. Megillah, except for Cherishot of a Katan. Bamedvar Mamurim, Bekatan Shalomigia Lechinuch. That's only if it's a Katan that's not yet at the age of Chinuch. Aval Bekatan Shigia Lechinuch, Afil Lechadchila, Sher Rabbi Yehuda, Machshir Bekatan. That it's all Rabbi Yehuda. Once he's Higia Lechinuch, then he's fine, because Rabbi Yehuda's Machshir Bekatan, and our whole Mishnah is really going like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, we can say that when we say that a Cherish cannot read the Megillah, it only means Lechadchila cannot read the Megillah. But Bediyavid, he'd be kosher to read the Megillah. So the whole Mishnah could be going like Rabbi Yehuda. Answer the Gemara finally. Third answer why our Mishnah cannot be going like Rabbi Yehuda. B'mayu kimtak Rabbi Yehuda u'diyavad. Why, you wanted to say our Mishnah is following the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and it's only talking about in a b'diyavad case that b'diyavad he can read the Megillah. Ela hadetani Rabbi Yehuda b'reder Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi cherish hamadabra v'enu shomea torim l'chadchila. But then the one who says that a cherish can even be torim l'chadchila, can even take truma l'chadchila, money, who would that align with if Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's a difference in l'chadchila and b'diavad? E Rabbi Yehuda, diavad in l'chadchila, lo. If it's Rabbi Yehuda, well then l'chadchila, he doesn't allow a cherish to do these things, according to the way we're trying to suggest. If the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, he says chutz mi cherish, that a cherish l'chadchila can't do these things. It's only a din b'diavad that he would be okay. And E Rabbi Yossi, diavad nami lo. And according to Rabbi Yossi, he's even more strict. He holds even b'diavad is no good. So who's going to be the one that distinguishes between l'chadchila b'diavad? Velamai, Rabbi Yehuda v'afilu l'chadchila. Must be that it's Rabbi Yehuda, and it's going even l'chadchila. Rabbi Yehuda holds even l'chadchila a cherish is kasher. So the Gemara is going to ask that. We're right in the middle of the conversation, but the conversation goes well into the next daf. So Be'ez Hashem will pick up with that tomorrow.